nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes?
In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski is brought to you in part by the Flower Farm Garden Center. They're open for the spring season. They're located behind Island Flowers on Main Street. They've got lots of veggie starts, marguerite daisies, hanging bags and baskets, gift certificates, bouquet subscriptions, and all kinds of great Mother's Day gifts. 10 to 5, Monday through Saturday, the Flower Farm and the Garden Center.
With eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
All right, Petersburg, it's Thursday afternoon, and that means it's time for In the Garden with the one and only Ed Bajarski, Juneau's and Southeast Alaska's premier master gardener.
You're laying it on a little thick there, Oren.
It's all true, though. It is all true. We're lucky to have you on.
I'm as famous as I need to be, so I'm still working on getting rich. So we work on that part of it. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I didn't guarantee the riches when I promised you all this fame.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, fame, yeah, we got fame.
Well, I hope you're having a nice day up there. We've had a couple of sunny days down here.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It was 68 degrees on the truck thermometer.
Whoa.
Driving up from town. So it is mighty nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, of course, we're supposed to go back to normal for the weekend, where we've got the big plant sale up here. But gardeners are a pretty dedicated bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So I suspect we'll get a good turnout anyway.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, we've got, it clouded up. It's cloudy now outside, but it was in the low to mid-60s earlier here, too, and it started sprinkling a little this afternoon, but, you know, people who started their projects
okay.
This morning...
Yeah, I suppose it's coming toward us, in other words, you're saying.
Be warned.
Okay.
It's not too bad, though, you know.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice again next week, real nice.
Yes. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So I assume you, just like we in Juneau, have a lot of plants available to us at your local retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of plants that need to be planted sooner or later, and that's kind of the challenge, figuring out if it's time enough, if it's warm enough, you know, that we're past the frost-free stuff. But again, some plants do want it warmer still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping, maybe by next week sometime, I'll be able to get my tomatoes and cucumbers out of my house. Some of those tomato plants are trying to lift the shelves and the lights above them, because
mm-hmm.
they're a foot tall and more.
Oh, wow.
So, but they need warmer soil, and they need really warmer nighttime temperatures. So
right.
Hopefully, you know, if the cloudy days are okay, it'd be nice. For example, even though it was clear last night, it was only got down to 41, which is better.
Yeah.
That's an improvement. So we still have to be careful.
Right.
And the other thing is hardening off the plants that, if they just came to town or if they've been grown in the greenhouse or indoors,
mm-hmm.
So that they can be ready for harsher outdoor conditions or even the, you know, like for my tomatoes from the house, the greenhouse is still going to be a shock to them.
Mm-hmm. So
we've got to do that gradually, get them out.
Right.
And then, so again, looking at your hardiness and that sort of thing, and you may very well have, I don't know if you've got fuchsia baskets that are available.
Mm-hmm.
You do want to be careful of those, have them in kind of sheltered spots. But they can probably go out again, and as long as the gardeners are watching nighttime temperatures.
Right.
Begonias, geraniums, something like those are more tender, and if you have available to you access to some of that, we've talked about the horticultural fabric, remake type stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's great stuff, one or two layers of that to put over the plants.
Mm.
If you've got them outside, if you've got them out on your deck, for the hardening off process and such, or even just in case of threatened frost. You can use that to cover them up, and that then will also help protect them from a few, it will hold a few more degrees of heat, and at the same time you can add, have some milk jugs or buckets of water and use those to as a heat sink or the heat source in underneath the horticultural fabric right next to your plants outside.
Right.
And of course the buckets can potentially hold the plant, hold the fabric up over, higher up over the plants too.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's, yeah, that's like a little nighttime blanket while it's still
kind of
chilly.
Yeah, kind of mini greenhouse, but we don't want to be using, generally, we don't want to be using visqueen plastic, clear plastic over,
right.
Particularly if it touches the plants. It needs to be held up over, you know, if you've got hoops. Say if you've got a bed that's got hoops and you don't have it planted yet, that would be a place where you could put your plants, again, to go through the hardening off process and gradually, again, get used to the outdoor conditions.
Yeah. So a question has crossed my mind. When you're hardening off your plants, say it's tomatoes, or really anything, though, how do you, is there a way to kind of visually confirm that you're hardening them enough? Like, do they become harder looking as you harden them off?
Well, they get they do get tougher. The leaves, actually, they do. The leaves do toughen up. And you can even help that along indoors.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about using, if you've got a fan indoors that's like blowing across the plants, that will help strengthen the stems and the leaves too. I mean, it's like wind outdoors. You can also do some of that by just brushing your hand kind of back and forth across them. Again, in reaction to that motion, the cell walls will toughen up. The stems will toughen up also. So some of that will happen. It's easier, unfortunately, it's easier to see the results if you don't have them hardened off enough, where they get frozen, frosted, of course, or discolored, or if the leaves actually, you know, the leaves start to turn brown on the edges, like they're drying out too much. So that's, unfortunately, easy to see if you didn't or don't have them hardened off. So that's, you're better off going longer, taking more time, and so that may include bringing them from, like, my indoor plants outdoors for an hour or two for a couple of days, and then 3 or 4 hours for a couple more days, and then longer and longer periods of time. I mean, it's a lot of plant movement, but again, that plant movement also helps toughen them up, too, just like they would be if they were exposed to more of a breeze or something like that outdoors. So it is... it is worthwhile. Certainly some of the plants, like when I just unloaded a batch of, like Japanese maples last week, brought them up from down south. They were mostly leafed out already. Of course, I put them into the shipping container, and it takes a week to get here roughly. And then some of those definitely show that, well, basically they got slightly sunburned in our sunburned and windburned because I didn't give them any extra protection when I put them outside.
Gotcha.
So, and when I unloaded them from the shipping container. So that's an indication new leaves will come out, even, you know, later this summer, because maples will actually have a second growth spurt of leaves. They'll grow in the spring and then stop. The leaves will toughen up, harden up, and then they will go through a second growth spurt, usually in late June, July, something like that. And then those leaves, well, all the leaves hopefully will last until fall when they turn color and then drop.
Right. Okay.
So then what about the act of actual planting?
Yes, right.
So you've brought home your pansies or tomatoes or calendulas or whatever it happens to be. You've got your place to put them. Maybe it's in containers. You know, maybe it's containers on your deck, or you've got boxes or something like that. So you're going to ideally water them first, give them a very light dose of liquid fertilizer, either before you pull them out or pull them out of the pot. Look at the root system that you just pulled out. Hopefully it isn't tightly packed. And we call that pot bound, in the pot. And so then we want to try to loosen that yes, we're going to tear some roots, but if we don't loosen those roots up, then they aren't going to spread out very well.
Right.
And for some plants, cucumbers and zucchinis are particularly sensitive. If they get pot-bound, then they can be stunted and not grow well even after transplanting. Mm. So you're actually better off with smaller cucumbers and zucchinis to plant that haven't fully filled the pot with roots,
right,
to put them out. So again, like mine are only they're just putting out their first true leaf after the seed leaves came out. So another week or a little more should be just about right for them to get to the right size that I like for transplanting. Mm-hmm. Now with tomatoes, they being pot bound doesn't really matter. You can tear up tomatoes and you want to usually bury tomatoes deeper. But so you pull your tomato plant out of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
If it's root bound, then pot bound, then you know, again, loosen up, tear it apart with your fingers. Mm-hmm. But those you can plant them deeper. Or if they're tall, like mine are already, they're a foot tall and more, I'm going to end up probably planting them on a slant. I'll dig a hole in the soil in my greenhouse, and I'll kind of lay them down, like at a 45-degree angle in there, and I will bury more of the stem above the existing soil level, and they will put out roots. It's kind of like hilling potatoes,
right.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
put out more roots, except you don't get more tomatoes off the site, obviously, underground.
Mm-hmm.
But getting more roots on them will be a good thing for them. And it's worth, before you bury those, pinch off the leaves that might be buried, you know, because otherwise they'll rot in the ground anyway.
Right.
So pinch those off first.
Mm-hmm.
With cucumbers, you normally, you know, very carefully plant, I mean, because they are much more tender.
Mm.
The whole thing is a much more tender plant. Then going to something, let's see, we've got those, cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli plants, perhaps kale. I'm just about to plant from seed some Brussels sprouts. Those are hardy enough, assuming you've brought them outside at least for a few days. They can go in the ground now. They can take colder temperatures than a tomato or the cucumbers can. Those can be planted a bit deeper in the ground. And again, so that they can root out more, sometimes get a bit tall. And so you pile soil up around them, up to the bottom leaf or so. And then, again, using the Rime or horticultural fabric, we want to cover them immediately to try to keep the root maggots from attacking them.
Mm.
Because they will be coming out probably by late May, early June. The adults will emerge from the soil. And, again, hopefully you're not planting them in the same box or bed we planted them last year to make it too easy for them. But that way we cover up the cabbage family plants immediately so that the root maggot fly doesn't lay its eggs at the base of the plants. And grow down there, and then they start to chew into the roots, and which slows down the growth or severely stunts their growth. Definitely not a good thing, and particularly we don't want wormy turnips, rutabagas, and radishes either.
Right. Okay, well, that's a good tip. Yeah, that darn fly. And that guy's just out there everywhere.
They're here, they're around us. You know, if you may or may not have had them last year yourself, but they certainly they're, you know, the neighbors might, if they were growing cabbage and stuff and didn't protect them. So the fly emerges and it goes looking for something in the cabbage family that's tasty, and then it lays its egg at the base of the plants. So if we can block them from getting to the base of the plants, then that's, you know, then our plants are going to grow better, and we will have nicer cauliflower, broccoli, and nice, clean, non-wormy radishes.
Sounds good. Okay. Is there anything people should be thinking about as far as making sure their beds are in the best possible condition, like fertilizer-wise?
Of course. Oh, certainly. I mean, hopefully, you know, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, that they could have already put fertilizer into those beds, mixed it in, and then recovered them with the clear plastic to help the soil warm up more. Again, that makes the plants happier growing in warmer soil. But it also means that you know, warmer soil will again make it less likely that you'll have frost damage. Mm-hmm. So the soil warmth, it takes, you know, you'd have to cool the soil temperature down that much more to get it to freeze. So again, warmer soil is going to be better. It's going to make the, well, make, you'll have happier worms, various microorganisms that are working in the soil, breaking down the fertilizer into sources that your plants can use. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely do the soil prep, ideally a week or more ahead. Again, I had dug this box that I planted yesterday with cauliflower. Last year had, that one had garlic in it. As soon as I harvested my garlic at the end of July, I planted a cover crop on it. And then that, well, I cut it down, in October, and then threw seaweed on top of that, and then a tarp over the whole thing. So then this spring, just a few weeks ago, I chopped up the seaweed and the old cover crop vegetation, mixed in the fertilizer, and threw the plastic on it. So yesterday when I dug into that soil to plant, it was really nice stuff, and it felt warm to the hand.
Oh,
so
perfect.
It was probably, at least the top few inches were probably 70 degrees or something like that. Very nice soil. It did, some folks panic when you pull the plastic off, if you've got the seaweed and stuff in there. There were various flies coming up out of the soil, and some folks think, oh no, these are the bad flies. And they're not necessarily. There's a lot of native flies which do live on the organic matter in the soil. And, I mean, you'll see them, a lot of times you'll see them down on the seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
The beach, too, you may disturb it if you kick the seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Those aren't going to be the root maggot flies, which are the ones that we're trying to protect against.
Right, right.
So then you think, oh, so now I've got my Remy on there over my cabbages, and I've got all these little flies in there, and so I'm just keeping the flies there handy. But usually that's not a problem.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, that's good. Yeah, seaweed flies, just kind of rule of thumb then, probably a little different than those cabbage
flies. Not a big
flies.
Deal. And the flies, the root maggot flies are actually small, as far as if you're looking at them or looking for them, I should say. Mm. They're going to be, maybe a quarter inch long. They're pretty small. Look like miniature house flies, basically. Mm. But, again, they're going to be primarily around the cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower plants, and that sort of thing.
Right.
It's not easy to recognize them particularly or specifically, but that's the area where you're going to go. So, again, that's why we don't want to replant cabbages in the same box that where they were last year.
Right, yeah. Those flies are identifiable by their behavior then, and they
know pretty
where
much.
They want to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they take essentially the, well, I can't remember the exact rule. There is the research has been done that it takes so many degree days, kind of like we have degree days for gardening or heating degree days for, you know, in the cooler weather. It takes them so many degree days to pop out, to emerge from their pupa, to become adults.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that varies. This year it's been a cooler spring for us. So they'll probably be later than they were last year. It was early May because things were warm early. And this year, I suspect it'll be late May to early June when they emerge. So, again, we keep our plants covered during that time for much of June. And essentially what happens is the growing plants, the cabbages and broccoli, will eventually lift this fabric up. You put it on loose. So like on a 4-foot wide bed, this stuff is usually 60 to 72 inches wide. So you hold the edges down with boards or rocks or something like that on the edge of the bed or box, and then it's loose in the middle so the plants can grow up underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's the kind of protection that those particular plants need in those beds.
They do, yes.
So
if we have that, then we'll have nicer cauliflower, cabbage, radishes, and turnips.
Perfect. So if we're leaving people with some parting kind of advice for the weekend until we speak again, it's basically be kind of finishing off whatever your particular kind of soil amendment and enhancement practices for your beds and containers at the moment. This is kind of the time to be doing that, the tail end of that work. At the same time, you want to be probably hardening off the plants that you're getting ready to plant into those beds. And then, maybe next week, in those sunny days next week, plants will be planted in the beds.
That's right, exactly. So this is a great time for planting, and of course planting seeds too. And you can plant, the kale seeds can be direct seeded. I direct seed broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage sometimes too. And then if I plant them on the thick side, then I will dig them out or thin them out, and then those can be spaced out also. So again, that's another option for you. Again, things like the greens, we can be planting lettuce seeds and carrot seeds, Swiss chard, all that sort of thing, can go in the ground now that the soil is warming. And again, like I said, if you have some kind of hoops to hold plastic up over the soil, or at least lift the plastic up off the soil for them, is worthwhile. And I, for most of that, I actually use Rime even for that horticultural fabric too, because it does hold a few degrees of warmth. Just on top of those, if I don't have the visqueen and hoops available. So all of that, I'm trying to help make seeds germinate a little faster and grow a little faster.
Right.
To take advantage of whatever nice weather we have.
Exactly. Kind of hanging on to the heat when it's here.
Right.
Yep. Good. Well, that is a lot of good advice, and I think that gives people a nice little to-do list for the coming week until we speak again. And, any parting advice for anybody before we send you back into the
Well, get out there, and I guess it's certainly here we probably have more choices than you do for what kind of good plants are available, but get out there and do some scouting and ask questions. You know, if you've got retailers who can answer your question, like one of the sponsors of the program, ask them questions. How do I grow this, or how can I grow this better, or I had these problems last year, what do I do to avoid having the same problems this year? So that's where having local sources, locally grown plants, can really make a big difference in your gardening success. And certainly we have that here, and that's, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm trying to give people. But we do have some local greenhouse growers, plant growers, and with this plant sale we're having this weekend, Master Gardeners and Garden Club people and others will be there. So again, take advantage of the local knowledge. Talk to your neighbors. You know, if you see a neighbor or somebody down the street who's got a good garden, most gardeners are pretty friendly. Go and talk to them and ask them, you know, what are you growing? Why are you growing that? Or can I grow it over at my house? Or do I have too much shade? Or do I have enough sun? Or do I need to clear cut the backyard to let more sunshine in?
Right.
Or need to find a go gardening somewhere else, you know. Maybe gardening on your neighbor's property is the better way to go, which I've certainly did when I was in Petersburg. You know, I was doing that.
Right. With permission.
With permission. Well, yes. I mean, you become a sharecropper, as it were. So they get a...
Exactly.
You know, you do the work, and they get a share of the produce because they own the land.
Yeah, it's a friendly community. No need for guerrilla gardening around here as far as...
Right. Yes.
But, yeah, no, you're right. That's a good parting thought is talk to your neighbor and share ideas about gardening. You know, it can be a very social, bonding neighborhood activity. And
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Everybody, you know, it's about growing food, growing beautiful flowers and plants, and these are all things meant to be shared, whether it's sharing the knowledge, sharing the fun of cultivating, sharing the fruits of that labor. It's a beautiful undertaking, and it doesn't have to be done in a solitary way. The gardening hermit, as it were, is
more
a myth than not.
That's right. Gardening can be a very social occasion, you know. So, and certainly get the kids involved also, and digging in the dirt and eating their share of dirt and worms will make them healthier too.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Okay, well, Ed, thank you for all the wonderful advice. It's a great pleasure to talk to you each week, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
All right. Very good, Oren.
Okay, till then.
Yep. Bye.
All right, that's been In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. We're very lucky to have him each week.
providing his knowledge and expertise to all of us here in Petersburg. Southeast is lucky to have so generous an expert as Ed. And thank you to the Flower Farm Garden Center. They're open for the spring season, located behind Island Flowers on Main Street. Lots of veggie starts over there, marguerite daisies, hanging bags and baskets, gift certificates, bouquet subscriptions, Mother's Day gifts, 10 to 5, Monday through Saturday.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew, you can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy, eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, what'll life be without homegrown tomatoes?